WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Friday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. The final day of the work week for me, and probably a good thing because I'm hoping my voice holds out throughout the entire show. There's nothing like when you don't feel well or when your voice isn't doing as well. There's nothing like that first sip of a hot beverage in the morning to hopefully clear things out. Normally, I don't drink any coffee or anything at home. On work days because, well, it's free here. But this morning I woke up and I was like, maybe I should have an espresso before I go in. But I waited and was rewarded just now with some delicious hot coffee to hopefully soothe things over and make me sound... Actually, I think I sound pretty good. Maybe today's the day I should record all the commercials I need to record. Hi. Are you looking for a date for Valentine's Day? See, I can do it. Only when I'm sick, though. Like, I have no bass in my voice. I don't think any other time. Anyway, 508-996-0500 is the number here this morning. And you can also use app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Just a bit of an update to what we were talking about yesterday. In the time since we went off the air yesterday morning... Authorities have now determined that the suspect in the New Orleans truck crash acted alone, that there were not other people involved, that they were mistaken, that apparently this person is the one who planted these IEDs, the suspect, and that the people that they were looking for just were happened to be people that were in the proximity. However, law enforcement is looking to speak with those people as a way to get what they might have seen as witnesses. So, and now they've also come out and said that they do not think that the Cybertruck explosion in Las Vegas is connected to the Las Vegas truck ramming incident. So, I mean, I'm sure the conspiracy theorists will be out here. Well, of course they're going to say all that. And see, that's the thing about being a conspiracy theorist. Is you can just choose not to believe what news or the authorities tell you, and you don't actually need a basis for not believing what they tell you. And that's something that really irks me. And trust me, I'm somebody that likes to look into conspiracies, you know, the ones that I think have legs. I don't think Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. I think it's entirely possible that Sirhan Sirhan was programmed. Or radicalized, or whatever you want to call it. I look into those and others with an open mind, but there are some that are just ridiculous. You know, Democrats are not drinking baby blood in the basement of a pizza shop. And if you look into the history of those accusations, you know it's the old blood libel that's been accused against Jewish people for thousands of years. But it's just so easy to say, well... Yeah, of course you would believe what they tell you. You're just a sheep. No, I'm not a sheep. I just like to use Occam's razor. I just like to use common sense. And I don't suffer from Dunning-Kruger syndrome. I don't think that I'm smarter than everybody else around me. Now, it happened yesterday. We had an article yesterday on the WBSM Facebook page that Barry wrote about the city's plans to memorialize Ruth the Elephant. Somebody had to come in talking about what a, you know, terrible job the city did taking care of elephants and they never should have been here. And I said, well, maybe I believe the zoologists, the people who testified on behalf of the zoo and said they do a fine job. And this person wanted to go back and forth with me. Okay, fine. I'm not going to change your mind. And so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just stop responding because I don't care. My life is not wrapped up in revisiting how New Bedford treated an elephant that is no longer with us. When the zoo has been accredited and won awards and is considered a top-ranked zoo and a beacon of how other zoos should perform. But okay, you know, you know more, Facebook commenter. You know more, most likely a bot. So anyway, the information that's out there now is that this person acted alone and that the two incidents were not connected. So do what you want with that information. I'm only passing it on. Also, I want to talk in depth this morning about Jack Spillane's column, which Chris McCarthy told you was forthcoming. He has a piece at NewBedfordLight.org. Police Union Chief, Royals City Council President Race. Email charges Shane Burgo without evidence of trying to defund the police department. And Jack's column, article, whatever you want to characterize it as, looks at the effort by the new New Bedford Police Union President, Lorenzo Gonzalez, and WBSM's Chris McCarthy to keep Shane Burgo from being elevated to the city council presidency. And Jack refers to it as, I think he uses the word campaign, a campaign against Burgo becoming the president. But if he doesn't use that word exactly, you know, that's how it's portrayed as. It's that whether working in concert or working separately, both men are utilizing their platforms to voice their opinion that Shane Burgo should not be the council president. And I've actually had people that have reached out to me and said, you know, you should talk to Chris about this. He shouldn't be using his position as a radio host to influence the way the city council votes. Chris is doing exactly what he is hired to do. He's giving his opinion on a local issue. He's talking about a local issue and getting your reaction to it. And if that somehow influences people to decide how they're going to vote on the city council, well, that's on them for choosing to listen to a talk radio host over their own conscience, over their own rationale, over their own decision-making. And if you are afraid of whatever power a talk radio host might yield, let me tell you, they don't really wield that much. And anything that somebody says about you on the radio is easily undone by coming on the radio and giving the other side of it. So you can say that you think that this is a biased move on Chris's part to keep Shane out of there, but he would just agree with you and say, yes, of course it is. I don't think that he should be the city council president, and I'm paid to give my opinions, and that's what my opinion is. It's up to the councilors whether or not they want to decide. Now, I think there is some confusion because Chris has asked for you to reach out to your counselor and tell them that you don't want to see Shane Burgo as president. Please know that you do not vote for the city council president. The council will vote for that on Monday. The councilors themselves elect the council president. And they have had a tradition, I guess we'll call it, of, you know, that it seemed, you know, and Linda Moore, I talked about this when she was council president. She came on with me regularly where she thinks that it's beneficial for any counselor and for every counselor to have a turn as council president. And I think the rationale from people like Linda Morad, maybe Brian Gomes, he's been kind of quiet on it, but maybe Brian Gomes, maybe Maria Giesta, Maybe Derek Baptiste. I don't know. He never talks to me. Never really talks to anybody. Maybe the mindset among those counselors is, yeah, it's Shane's turn. Shane Burgo and Ryan Pereira entered the council the same time. In the last election, Shane was the second highest vote getter behind Ian Abreu. It's his opportunity. And next time, you know, if Ryan Pereira is interested, maybe it's his turn. And then Sean Oliver, and then Leo Chiquette. Maybe everybody gets a chance. That's the way that Councillor Moore had portrayed it to me when she was on my program, is that she thinks it's beneficial for every counselor to get a turn with the gavel. That doesn't mean that they support everything that the person ideologically stands for. But as pointed out in Jack's column, some of the things that Shane Burgo stands for are being mischaracterized or assumed. And so Jack breaks it down, and I encourage you to read it all at newbedfordlight.org. And let me just tell you that Councillor Burgo will join me on Tuesday morning in the 8 o'clock hour, and I believe he's going to stay for the whole hour, and he'll take your calls. Now, generally, I know that Chris McCarthy's show, South Coast Now, is where the counselors appear, and I'm not trying to step on Chris's toes, but Councillor Burgo reached out to me and asked if he could come on Tuesday morning, because win or lose on Monday night, we're going to want to hear from him. And it's been my longstanding policy, and I've said it on the air many times, that when elected officials and people involved in local and city government, when they reach out to me and ask for airtime, I give it to them. Unless I have a previously scheduled guest or a previously scheduled segment that I cannot move, I will always give them that time. And you can ask any counselor that. They've never texted me or sent me a Facebook message and said, can I call in? And I've never said no. I might have said, you know, maybe wait until after the news, the next hour, because I have a long break to take here. You know, but that's just logistics. I would never deny somebody in that position the airtime, because we owe it to you, the listener, to hear about it, to give them that airtime, to have them be heard. And I'm not going to get into it with Councillor Burgo and say, well, you know, you really should go on with Chris because he's the one that's been chastising you. No, we'll give him the airtime that he asked for, and that probably works better with his schedule. We know he has to take time off from work to come in and do Chris's show. So he'll join me on Tuesday morning in the 8 o'clock hour, no matter what happens on Monday night, and we'll talk about it. But Jack actually goes back and looks at whether or not Councillor Burgo has ever said he's for defunding the police, which is what the police union president is claiming in an email to the union membership. And Jack says he can find no recollection of that, nothing on the public file where he said that. And Burgo himself said that he is not for defunding the police. He denied point blank that he's ever taken a position remotely close to defund the police. And this is the quote that he told Jack Spillane. I have never at any point, publicly or privately, advocated for defunding the police. That's pretty straightforward right there. There's also a lot of talk about how Councillor Burgo is in support of 10 cities. That he wants to build a tent city out by the airport for the homeless. Which is also a bit of a generalization, and even, dare I say, a mischaracterization. What he said was that there was discussion, it was brought up by some of the homeless advocates to look into that possibility. And as the chair of the Committee on Housing and Homelessness, he felt they had to explore that idea just as much as any other idea. Now, here's the funny thing about it. Even if Shane Burgo did come out and say, yes, I want to build a tent city right next to the airport. And I don't care what anybody else says about it. I want to build it. Here's the problem. The homeless advocates in the city don't want it. We had Danielle in here from Turning Point. She doesn't want it. Nobody in that organization wants it. She said the homeless folks don't want it. They don't. The reason why they all live in separate camps around the city is because they don't want to be living with each other. So you can go say right now all you want. Hey, drop a flag right here. This is a homeless camp. All homeless should be coming here to live. Police, round them up and bring them here. The police aren't going to do that. Police chiefs told us that. But they can round them up and bring them here. And you know what's going to happen when they get there? They're going to walk away and go pitch their tents and set up their shelter somewhere else because they don't want it. And they're not going to do it. And it's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. Not to mention, one counselor wanting it to happen and maybe one organization wanting it to happen isn't enough to make it happen. So that's one of what I call the Burgo boogeymen that are being thrown around. Another Burgo boogeyman, which came up in the last week, is that Shane Burgo supports turning the Ash Street Jail into a shelter, a homeless shelter for convicted felons. And that, again, is a exaggeration of what is actually being discussed. Again, it is a topic that is being discussed in the very rudimentary stages. There's no even formal plan or proposal, according to Sheriff Harreau. There was just a conversation about it that will continue on in a meeting again later this month. But it's just an idea to turn the sheriff's home, which is just a small portion of the Ash Street Jail facility. It's a house that's being used as offices and storage. It's where Lizzie Borden was kept when she was at Ash Street Jail. That's why they have the bed that they think is the one that she slept in. It's just a house that would have 10 to 15 people that would be utilizing the services there. It's not a massive influx of felons who are coming in to vote for Shane Burgo for mayor. 10 to 15 people. The plan is still to take the Ash Street facility and get rid of it. It's old, it's outdated, it's unnecessary. Nobody wants to see that building turned into a homeless shelter for felons. They're talking about the sheriff's home, which is a house. And if you think, well, I don't want 10 to 15 convicted felons in a halfway house in my city. Well, I hate to tell you, you've already got that all over the city. And it won't, it's not like they're putting murderers and rapists into this home and saying, all right, well, we trust you now. You're in Ward 5 now. We trust you. There would be qualifications. And by the way, it might not even happen. Because whatever they end up doing with the entire Ash Street complex, that's probably going to be included with it. Sheriff Harreau and Counselor Burgo are two people who feel compelled to explore ideas. That they feel that being elected by the citizens who elected them, their job should be to look into every possible solution, every possible angle, every possible outcome for the job that they've been tasked to do. And that's what they're doing here. Now, if Sheriff Harreau came in here and or sent out a press release and said, here's my 55-page plan to turn the entire Ash Street facility into a place to house convicted felons who are, you know, now released out into the public, and it'll be a transitional center for them, I would say that's a ridiculous idea. But to use the sheriff's home to have 10 or 15 vetted and trusted former inmates, whether it be from there or from elsewhere. And by the way, there seems to be a real problem on this radio station with giving people second chances. There seems to be a real problem with the people who call in with giving people second chances. If you're a drug addict, you're dead to these people. If you are a convicted criminal, you are dead to these people. They do not believe in having any kind of rehabilitation for a person who has committed crimes, who has been on drugs. There's no pathway to citizenship for them, for a person who comes here out of desperation. And I find it hard to resolve myself to the fact that the same audience that can overwhelmingly come out and donate to something like our mini miracle family are the same people that can be as heartless when it comes to these other folks who have just hit a struggle in their life and need a second chance. Kind of disturbing. 508-996-0500. I've got to take a break here. We'll be back in just a few moments. And we are back in. Now it is time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
New details on the man behind the deadly attack in New Orleans. Donald Trump plans a major rally in D.C. before his inauguration, and how to make those New Year's resolutions stick.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The FBI says the attack on Bourbon Street was an act of terrorism. Over a dozen people were killed and dozens more injured when a truck plowed through a crowd in the New Orleans hotspot in the early hours of the new year. FBI Deputy Assistant Director Christopher Raya added the suspect pledged his support for ISIS on social media just hours before the attack. They believe he acted alone. The driver who died when a Cybertruck blew up outside the Trump Las Vegas hotel has been identified as an Army vet from Colorado. Law enforcement sources tell the New York Post that 37-year-old Matthew Livelessberger rented the electric truck that exploded on New Year's Day and was in the driver's seat when it blew up. The FBI investigating the explosion as a possible terror attack. Two people are dead and at least 18 more injured after a plane crashed into a warehouse in Fullerton, California. The plane reportedly crashed into the building around 2 p.m. on Thursday. Of the 18 people injured, 10 were taken to a hospital and 8 were treated at the scene. The FBI is releasing new information about the person who placed two pipe bombs near the RNC and DNC headquarters on January 6th of 2021. Authorities still have no suspects and haven't identified a motive for the crimes. On Thursday, they released new video of the person placing one of the bombs near the DNC. The FBI says they estimate the person to be about 5'7". A $500,000 reward is being offered for information leading to the suspect's arrest. Donald Trump is planning a major rally in Washington, D.C. on the eve of his inauguration. Amid a heightened terror threat level, Trump announced he'll host what he called a victory rally you'll never forget for 20,000 of his supporters on January 19th. Trump hasn't held a rally in D.C. since January 6th of 2021, which preceded an insurrection at the Capitol building by some of his followers. Some officials say the short notice for the rally and the recent attacks in New Orleans and Vegas could present security problems. And getting in shape and losing weight come out on top for New Year's resolutions. Healthy living experts warn not to bite off more than you can chew and to start slow by building up your exercise routine instead of jumping into tough workouts. Just getting on a treadmill or walking for 20 minutes at least 3 times a week is a great place to start.
WBSM Sports.
Celtics beat the Minnesota Timberwolves 118-115. Tonight they're in Houston to play the Rockets. Bruins lost to the New York Rangers 2-1. Their next game is Saturday in Toronto with the Maple Leafs. And the Patriots host the Buffalo Bills in Foxborough on Sunday afternoon.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Breezy and mostly sunny on the South Coast today with a high of 38 degrees. On Saturday, partly cloudy with a high of 31. On Sunday, cloudy with a high of 30. And on Monday, cloudy again with a high of 32. This WBSM news update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
In 508-996-0500. Just trying to make sure that when you get up out of bed, you're motivated to dance around a little bit, right? You heard Phil talking about 20 minutes a day of walking will make a three times a week will make a big difference. So we'll dancing your way out of bed. Although eventually when you're like me and you got to sleep with a heating pad on, when you wake up, you probably aren't feeling much like dancing, more like cracking everything as you walk. 508-996-0500. Hey, if you are an NHL fan, if you like hockey and the Winter Classic is something that you look forward to every year, well, our new coworker here at Town Square Media, Michaela Johnson, who is now one of the hosts on the MGM show, Mornings on Fun 107 with Michael Rock and Gazelle. Michaela Johnson is also the in-arena host for the Bruins. And she does work with the NHL as well. And so she worked the Winter Classic in Chicago. And she shared with us some behind-the-scenes photos and some behind-the-scenes stories. So you can check that out at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. And you can read about her experiences at the Winter Classic and see some photos that I know I would never have that level of access. So check it out. And even if you're not a hockey fan, it's kind of cool to see some of the behind the scenes action. So, and you can read more about Michaela too at fun107.com. Of course, you probably know her from the road show, and now she is here with us each morning. So, and the best part about it is because she just started yesterday, and my birthday and Nancy Hall's birthday is tomorrow. We had two cakes yesterday. Thanks, Pam. Pam brought in two cakes, one for Michaela and one for the birthday folks. So, we've got plenty of cake in the fridge. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're first on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How are you?
I'm good. So I just want to know, is this the year of the tiger? Because you went ferocious today.
I don't know.
Where is this Tim Ben is what I want to know. I'm impressed.
I don't see it as ferocious. I'm just trying to be straightforward.
Oh, no, but you're being very tigerish. And it is being straightforward, but I'm like, where's this Tim Ben? You're very passionate about everything this morning. Good for you. Maybe it's because you're turning a year older tomorrow. I don't know.
Maybe it's because I chugged so much coffee before I started the show.
Could be that, too. But I just want to say that, I hope you have a wonderful birthday tomorrow.
Thank you.
And two, I was going to get cigars anyways for everybody. So when I asked you the other day, did you like, like cigars? And you're like, yeah, I like a good cigar. My brother is in a cigar club where he gets the cigars every month. Mm-hmm. And he had to cut back because it's just so expensive and with everything. And then, homeowners, it's just really hard. So he's only getting it. He just changed it like 2 months prior to this month, and it's supposed to be every 3 months now. So his cigars are being delayed. They should be there by Monday. So if they're not, I don't care. I'm just going to go buy some.
Oh, you don't have to do that, but thank you.
Oh, no, I want to. I just don't know who smokes cigars other than you. And I know Chris does. I don't know if Barry does.
I don't think Barry does. No, I think Barry gave up all smoking, I believe.
Yeah. And I don't think, I could see maybe Brian Thomas, but I don't see Ken Pittman or Ryan.
Ken might, but Ken's going to be out for a little bit. So he's still out dealing with some issues. So
Yeah.
Paul will be here again from this Saturday. And basically we told Ken, you know, take all the time you need. And then, you know, when you're ready to come back, let us know. Paul's going to fill in until he's ready to come back.
Well, that's nice of Paul. He's a great host.
Yeah,
he really is. Yeah, he's got the personality for it. He can carry the show for somebody who's not.
The important thing is even people that disagree with him, it's hard for them to dislike him because he's just such a likable guy.
Exactly. Okay, so see, you said it for me. That's exactly where I was going with that. Okay, and now I just want to say, S Street, I do have problems with that, and the reason why is because Harrell said it's only like 15 beds. I believe in second chances, Tim. I really do. But I just, at 15 beds, you can't just make this for the criminals that, you know, just, you can't have a program. It's discrimination, and then that there's going to be a thing. Well, why can't a woman be there? But you can't have a woman.
But here's the thing. It's not discrimination because that's what the jail is for. The jail is for prisoners. It's the county-owned property that's designated for prisoners.
Okay, so then this is where my point is going to. So if it is just going to be them and just strictly males in those 15 beds that they'll be staying in, then who's going to be funding that?
It would come out of the jail budget.
But where's the money coming from, Tim? If this is for New Bedford and it's strictly for this correctional facility and strictly this type of program, who's funding that? Because when it becomes where it's just one particular type of program, that's not going to be federally funded.
So it's coming from the money that is given to the jail. So what you're saying, by your logic then, Sketty, any homeless person that wants to go in and get a cell at Ash Street to spend the night should be able to get one then?
No, it's not about, no, because the city has it set up where they're going to go to the Dartmouth Motor Inn and they're going to go to the Capri Hotel during the winter months. This was already established and talked about. No, I'm saying this particular facility, with the way they're talking about, it's going to end up being New Bedford taxpayers. Somehow this is, and I'm just saying it's going to be a mess and it will be fraud or some, I just don't see it happening. I think it's great.
And by the way, the sheriff did not characterize this as a place where, you know, this is going to become their home. He characterized it as a place where they can stay in a transitional period. But the idea
and
is that
as long as they wake up in the morning and come downstairs and use what they're going to have them to use.
They're trying to get them out of there. They're trying to get them to be productive members of society.
When they come out of jail, most of them are on probation anyways. And probation officers are on them to make sure they're going to the unemployment agency, that they're doing this, doing that. So I made a comment about this last week. I said, well, then do the probation officers now just start coming there, who they're assigned to?
I don't think they have to because they're still under the supervision of the people that would be at that facility. So it's not like the probation officers would have to come there. They could be in communication with the probation officers to say, you know, Joe Smith was here today. Okay, thank you.
Right. So anyways, it's just more money. I just find it great that they want to do that. But I just don't know. 15 beds, all that resources for just 15 beds. I just can't.
No, you're looking at it from the wrong perspective. 15 beds out of all the resources that they'll be doing downstairs for what could be dozens of people. So the 15 beds are only for the dozens of people that don't land on, you know, for the people that don't land on their feet.
Okay. So you say, anyways, you said that, fine, they're just kicking this idea around. Well, when two or more people get together to kick an idea around and then they keep kicking that idea around for like 3 months, then that means something is going to come to fruition. But here's the thing. There's got to be some kind of time limit. Like, Mr. Harrell needs to come back on and say, like, when this, if whatever, how much further they've come with the idea of how this is going to come to fruition, is there's got to be a time limit for each individual to succeed and get out so that another person can use that.
Oh, sure, so, yeah. I'm sure that would be a fair part of the plan.
I don't want to see somebody there for 6 months.
Like, if you go to, you know, the unemployment office and you are trying to utilize their services to find a job, and you run out of luck, eventually there's a time period where they say, hey, you know, what else can we do to help you here? You've got to stop taking up that computer every day for somebody else to come in and utilize it.
Right. So this is why I feel like he needs to come back on. And so now I got to say to you, Jack Spling definitely lit a fire underneath you about Shane Virgo. And yeah, no, there won't be a tent city because the mayor already said this more than once on Chris's show. But I would love for you and Chris Monday to share an hour together.
Well, I mean, I've been telling Chris for a couple of weeks now, like every time that he goes on about this, I'm like, hey, tomorrow I'm going to push back on that just so you know. And I just haven't gotten around to it yet. But, you know,
that's why I said, where have you been? Where's this been?
Chris and I have been debating this, you know, in between the shows and in the hallways. But, mm-hmm. you know, Shane reached out to me yesterday and then Jack's column dropped today. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to make my position known here. I mean, I've said in the past already, the city council president doesn't have any power. Like, they just run the meetings and give the committee assignments. We're way overblowing the position of city council president here and making it seem like they actually have any kind of ability. And Mayor Mitchell's not going to go anywhere if he feels that the city council president that's there isn't ready to handle the mayoral position, even on an interim basis. So I don't think the mayor is going anywhere. We already know Shane Burgo is going to run for mayor. This is just a lot of to-do about something that doesn't need a lot of to-do.
Well, I think it does because it affects us, right? But I do have to say...
But it doesn't. How does it affect you?
Well, first let me just say this. When you say like, oh, it's this person's turn and then it will be another person's turn or whatever. No, this isn't like where you're in school and say, oh, it's your turn. You get to pick all the players. You can be the coach. This is politics, and politics is... you know, messy and can cause a lot of grief between people and whatnot. But no, I just feel like that it is important, and it is, and for you to say it's a much to do about nothing, I have to disagree with you on that, Tim.
Well, you know what? When Shane Burgo wins the council presidency and none of the things that everybody is worried about actually end up happening, then we can look back at this and say, yep, it was much to do about nothing. And if it's not, we'll do it the other way.
Listen to this. I thought with these two names, I really thought that we got to be able to go and vote. I asked Chris yesterday, I said, I don't know who's, I didn't know it's just them voting for him. I thought because of the two, and I said, oh, I guess this has to be a public vote. But no.
So no, it's the councilors elect among themselves.
Right. So, I guess that's going to be hard on them too, because, just the backlash. Either way, like you said, we'll see.
I mean, any backlash will be forgotten within a couple of days of it, because again, these things aren't going to happen no matter what. The city council president doesn't have the power to create a tent city, doesn't have the power to defund the police, doesn't have the power to do any of the things people are worried that Shane Burgo is going to do. So,
who knows?
You want to hear a funny cigar story before I let you go?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, so I went to Cozumel years ago on a cruise, and a friend of mine and I, we were, you know, when you go to Cozumel on this cruise, you can get this tour package where they take you on a bus ride around the beach, and then they take you to this village where, oh my God, it's such a lucky day that you're here the day where they're having a parade. They have the parade every day. They do it for the tourists. But anyway, when they take you to their little village on the beach, they have all these little... people selling stuff at these different stands, and one of them was a guy selling Cuban cigars. And so we said to him, how much do you want for those? And he's like, $50 for a box of these Cuban cigars. And me and my friend are like, yeah, no, we're not paying that. And he goes, well, go, how much are you going to give us? And I was like, well, I'll give you $20. And he goes, okay, fine. And I gave him $20. And then my friend's like, yeah, I'll give you $20. So we paid $20 for a box of, you know, 10 Cuban cigars, $2 a cigar. And so then we go back to the bus and we're like sitting there looking at our cigars. And this other guy who we couldn't stand on the cruise, who was just so annoying and such a know-it-all, he comes back in. He goes, guys, look what I got. And he holds up the box of Cuban cigars, the same one we have. And we're like, oh, yeah, yeah. How much did you pay for it? He goes, only $50. And I was like, you're such an idiot, man. You're such an... You paid what they asked you the first time in Mexico. Like, you always negotiate down in Mexico, man.
I wish I could find a Cuban cigar for you. I really do.
They're not hard to find anymore. They used to be more difficult, but...
I can't. Well, I'll tell you, yesterday, when I talked to my brother and he said he didn't come in and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, I want them for Monday. So I went and I was looking at scars and I made phone calls. And so what I found out is most of the scars have Dominican tobacco in it.
Yeah, those are
Connecticut
good.
Has a leaf. I said, isn't there anything USA, you know, and Connecticut has the wrapper, the wrap.
Yep.
And but they use the Dominican tobacco. And the guy told me to get that because it's got a taste that every man's taste bud would like.
There's a lot of nuance to cigars that people don't even take into account.
Well, you know, and also there's a coffee cigar called Java.
Yeah, yeah. There's ones that are dipped in wine. There's all kinds of different kinds of cigars. I used to smoke these ones when I was like a regular cigar smoker. I used to have these Don Diego ones that were like little cigarillos. And so it was like the size of a cigarette. Yeah. Because I would never finish a whole cigar. Like I always had to go do something before I could finish it.
They used to smell good.
Yeah, yeah.
I like the smell of them. I think the ones I liked were called Tipperellos or something.
Right.
But a coffee cigar. So I was thinking, geez, you like your coffee, but do you want to smoke a cigar that tastes like coffee?
And then every once in a while, when I go out drinking with my friends, I get a package of Backwoods. And then we smoke the Backwoods. All right. I got to hold you there. I got to take a break here.
Okay, Tim.
Have a good weekend.
Happy birthday tomorrow. I hope you do something really fun.
Thank you so much.
And I'll be there Monday with cigars on hand.
Oh, we appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Bye.
All right. I got to take a quick break here. We'll be right back. What are you going to do when you get out of jail? I'm going to go live in the sheriff's home at Bristol County Jail in New Bedford, right outside of Ash Street Jail. No, that doesn't have the same ring to it. I don't think the Tom Tom Club took that proposed plan into effect when they wrote those lyrics. But 508-996-0500. And, of course, we can talk more about this coming up in the next hour. Another thing that I want to point out to you, and this was something that came up kind of accidentally yesterday. I was just scrolling through Facebook. I had so much to do yesterday coming back from the holiday that every few, you know, like every half an hour, 45 minutes or so, I just needed to take a little mental break. And I would scroll through social media or go get something to eat or something. And I happened to be scrolling through and I saw my friend and former colleague from the Standard Times, Zach Rocha, posted, you know, today I learned that the school I went to elementary school at, the person it's named after is the great, 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 great grandfather of Taylor Swift, Jariah Swift. And I was like, well, this, hold on. Let me do a little digging into this. And so I started digging into it, and it turns out not exactly true. The Jariah Swift that the school is named after is not Taylor Swift's seventh great grandfather, but is related to her. They share a common ancestor, but then because there was a lot of Jariah Swifts, but then it kind of branched off, and the Nathaniel Swift branch is where Taylor Swift comes from. But she does have direct connections back to New Bedford, while her great 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 grandfather was not the one that the school is named after. Her great, 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 great grandfather is a Jariah Swift who is from New Bedford, or at the time, what was known as Dartmouth, because back in those days, New Bedford was just a village within the larger town of Dartmouth. So there was a lot to dig through in the ancestry of Taylor Swift, but I found what I think is the actual real genealogy. And you can read about it at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. What does it mean? What does it matter? Nothing. But it was something that was fun for me to write and to go down that rabbit hole of on a day when, you know, my mind was going in 100 different directions and I just wanted something fun. And I thought I would share that with all of you as well. But apparently people want to go in the comments and say, oh, big deal. A lot of people are related to Jariah Swift. You're going to write an article about all of them? Well, I don't know. Are all of them the biggest recording artists on the planet? It's like you get one of two things when you publish a story like that. A bunch of people are like, oh, cool, never knew that. Interesting. And then the other people, who cares? Okay, but you spent enough time to comment, so obviously you do. And I will tell everybody all the time, if you don't like the content we put out, just don't follow. And if you don't like the article that we wrote, just keep scrolling. I don't get it. I don't get why you feel empowered and emboldened to need to comment about it. Just move on. You think I'm not going to write another article about some celebrity that's somehow related to New Bedford? Of course I am, because it's fun, because I find it interesting, because people read it. By the way, when you say who cares about an article, 9 times out of 10, it's far and away the number one article of the entire